I'm Jamal Sain, and you're listening to the GameSpot Reviewcast, a podcast series that brings you GameSpot's trusted video game reviews in audio form. This episode will include a reading of our Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth review, which was written by Michael Haim and published on January 23rd, 2024. The game received a score of 8 out of 10, with highlights including its reflection on the series' past and protagonist Kazuma Kiryu's legacy, as well as fantastic RPG systems that have been significantly improved and make combat a consistent joy, and a robust suite of mini-games and side content that add a ton of variety. Criticism was leveled at its relatively weak main story that meanders more than it delivers, and the wildly inconsistent tone. Keep listening for the full review, and also a more casual discussion of the game taken from the latest episode of GameSpot After Dark, which was recorded and released following the publication of the review on GameSpot.com.
On paper, Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth has everything I could possibly ask for in a game from RGG Studio. Kasugi Ichiban from the 2020 RPG Yakuza Like a Dragon, co-leading with series legend Kazuma Kiryu. Two characters I love dearly, fighting alongside one of the best supporting casts in recent years. It's the best of both worlds for a story about life, legacy, the realities of the world we live in, and atonement. It also comes with greatly improved RPG systems that nail the tactical joy of turn-based combat while upholding Yakuza's comedic identity in remarkable ways. And in splitting its time in Hawaii with Yokohama, you get two robust and detailed locations to explore new and old ideas through the biggest suite of side activities the series has had thus far. It's unfortunate to say, however, the main story really loses the thread along the way, by putting unearned emphasis on its least interesting aspects and meandering for much of its runtime. The compelling narrative ambitions it sets up are largely left unfulfilled. And so Infinite Wealth is a game about individual moments. Moments of bittersweet reflection, heartfelt camaraderie, and hype that uplift legendary characters even higher. These are moments that remind you that the Yakuza franchise is much bigger than any one game. So even when its overarching plotline comes up short in crucial ways, it's those individual moments that make Infinite Wealth worth playing.
Oh my god! A streaker!
Things kick off with a strong opening that puts the realities of normal adult life front and center and tees up a powerful theme about the struggles of reintegrating with society after a life of crime. It shows how Ichiban embodies everything good about being a naive goofball with fists of iron and a heart of gold, and that he's been driven by the ideals established in his previous game. Furthermore, the recurring theme of public opinion and internet virality shaping reality foreshadows how Infinite Wealth steeps itself in modern commentary. But it's the search for family that propels him to Hawaii, partially making for a nice getaway and a new place to get caught in another complex web of powerful criminals. The streets of Honolulu have been recreated with the same level of detail as any other location from the series. As someone who spent time in the exact locations modeled in Infinite Wealth, it's wild how familiar it all felt. From the beautiful Waikiki shoreline where the Duke Kahanamoku statue stands, to the back streets around Alawai I walked after late nights out. ABC stores are around every corner, the Ala Moana Mall has a striking resemblance here, and even the local boutique 88T's has a shop where you can buy gear and gifts. It's a welcome change of scenery, but herein lies a story about an underworld that's just as insidious as anything we've seen in Kamurocho. This comes with some sharp commentary about how the US treats Hawaii, criminality within law enforcement, and the importance of local charity holding the people together.
Wow! Finally meat that's not in a can! Shall we have some steak tonight?
A lot of strong groundwork gets laid in these opening chapters, but as the main story goes on, the more time that gets spent on continuously laying more groundwork, without going in a meaningful direction. At certain points, Infinite Wealth becomes more concerned with setting up factions and weak villains for the sake of giving you something to chase, dedicating so much time and effort on plot threads that either don't amount to much or just aren't very compelling. Yakuza games have been great about giving you something tangible to fight for, and even when you know a big plot twist is going to upend your efforts, at least there's a momentum towards the story's bigger truths. So as the game went on, I couldn't help but see the clock ticking on it being able to make good on the things that matter most. That's not to say Infinite Wealth doesn't have incredible touches along the way, because with those uncharacteristic lows come some spectacular highs. For Kiryu, there's a powerful level of introspection that shows him coming to terms with everything he struggled with, and he reckons with the broader idea of the Yakuza as an organization and the consequences that followed. What you do with the limited time you have left becomes an ever-present theme, and every time he seeks closure for one aspect of his life, it's a bittersweet feeling for such an inspiring character.
As you think back over the years, a lot of things will pop into your head. Missed opportunities, forgotten plans, hidden desires. So you make a list of what you want to do. The reason you buckle down and do it is to tie up any loose ends before you go.
Since the main story is often focused on the bigger picture of factional drama, several of Kiryu's best moments are relegated to side content. At times, I wrestled with the idea that the most important parts of his life were seen as an afterthought, especially once I saw how Infinite Wealth somewhat undermines what Like a Dragon Guidance set up for him. But he at least gets his big stage at critical points, including an unforgettable gameplay sequence that pays homage to the franchise's history. While Ichiban also gets some great moments showcasing his unbreakable faith in the people around him, I can't help but come away annoyed with what the game does with his character by the time it wraps up. Sure, he still has a lot of growing up to do in the aftermath of the previous game, but when he's so often used as a tool for shallow jokes and has a serious problem with who he directs his empathy towards, he's noticeably regressed. Considering how the opening chapters reinforce the qualities that made him a lovable character, it's disappointing that we only see short glimpses of brilliance throughout the rest of the story. Even still, this is a series that has proven character development is one of its greatest strengths, which comes through in most of the supporting cast, particularly the newcomer Tomizawa, whose arc of humble beginnings are fleshed out, allowing him to grow in believable ways, eventually fitting into the existing band of misfits. Chitose adds a youthful perspective and an important lens into the modern world to contrast with the older folks of the party who are always just down on their luck. Everyone from Yakuza Like a Dragon returns in some form, and while they often feel sidelined in the main story, the times they do band together or open up about their lives in drink-linked conversations are so heartwarming. Their personalities also shine in their default jobs and movesets. Whether I'm fighting a massive shark off the side of a boat or an in-game Danny Trejo dual-wielding machetes, the turn-based combat puts the spotlight on each of the party members who drive this story. As ridiculous as it is to scrub down enemies in a bubble bath or pop bottles of champagne to do water-based damage, it's an effortless blend of the series' unmistakable sense of humor and the intensity of dramatic, high-stakes battles. Furthermore, the expanded job system lets each character take on different roles with some utterly ridiculous attacks and spells, which also adds a level of depth that expands on the principles of the previous game. Mechanically speaking, a number of smaller changes lead to a significant improvement in combat. Being able to move around a defined space during each turn lets you line up back attacks, area of effect spells, and knockbacks, which add a new strategic layer to the system. Bond levels and drink links are also integrated into progression to open up perks like slick combo attacks, freebie follow-ups, and tag team attacks, and it's a wonderful embodiment of the power of friendship wrapped into tangible gameplay perks. It's not the most elegant system, since positioning can be imprecise and context-sensitive actions can obstruct the actual attack you want to execute. But in return, you're in much more control of the party, and the tactical considerations that come along with that control makes for a satisfying and unique flow. The way Kiryu has been molded into an RPG character is brilliant as well. His three signature stances give his normal attack flexibility, and his essence spells call back to the skills he's picked up over the years. But most of all, his dragon's resonance limit break has to be one of the coolest things the series has ever done, especially as a narrative device. Despite fights being turn-based, this gives you a brief window to control Kiryu in the old action brawler style to show he still carries the spirit of the Dragon of Dojima no matter what. Overall, RGG has truly found its footing in making its own fantastic RPG combat system, and one that stands among some of the best in the business. Of course, carrying the spirit of a Yakuza/Like a Dragon game are the optional activities that litter the maps of Honolulu and Yokohama. One of the new ones is an in-game Tinder equivalent that's just as outlandish as it is believable, and you could tell it comes from people who've had experiences on dating apps. As is tradition, sub-stories are around every corner. The series has made its reputation on some of the wild things that happen in these side quests, and for Infinite Wealth, there are a few instances of comedic gold and neat callbacks, and then there are some flops. Sometimes it felt like RGG was going over the top for the sake of it, or tried to send a poignant message, then just fumbled the delivery. In some respects, substories lost sight of what made them good to begin with. The big swing Infinite Wealth takes is in Dondoko Island, the Animal Crossing-style crafting and management activity that kind of exists in its own realm. I'm hesitant to call it a minigame, given how involved its mechanics are. From clearing trash for expanding into new zones, to farming materials across the island, a certain level of effort is required to start building out your resort. A worthwhile side story is also attached to advancing your rank in Dondoko Island, which gives you a little extra motivation. Part of me misses the simplicity of Ichiban Confections, where building a business and appeasing stakeholders were wrapped into a briskly paced management sim minigame. However, I don't mind the trade-off for having more to chew on with Dondoko Island, though you'll need the patience required to engage with these sorts of systems. To bring things back down to earth, Memoirs of a Dragon are Kiryu's bucket list of side activities for him to either enjoy his life for once or reflect on the life he's led. These come in various forms, like something in the world that triggers Kiryu's memory of a specific event from a previous game, or full-on sub-stories that go deeper on reopening certain plot lines from the past. Like the rest of the series, they can range from hilarious to heart-wrenching. While knocking these out may feel formulaic, it offers a warmth and reverence to a character who also recognizes the mistakes he's made in his life. Kiryu is more complex than he often leads us to believe, and that side of him really surfaces at times in Infinite Wealth. Now looking back, there's a lingering thought that Yakuza Like a Dragon had a powerful message to send and said it with its whole chest. And that's about showing dignity and humanity to the people who live on the margins of society. Infinite Wealth starts with a promising take on that theme, then mostly drops it, as it's more concerned about chasing mysteries and plot twists that lack the bite and emotional pull that the series has historically done so well. Much like the concept of language barriers being a fascinating narrative theme, which gets dropped shortly after it's introduced, it feels like Infinite Wealth bit off more than it could chew and had to roll with an undercooked execution in the end. In my review of Yakuza Like a Dragon from 2020, I said that the future of the series was bright with Ichiban as the new lead, and I still believe that because there's still plenty to adore about him. For as inconsistent as Infinite Wealth is in reaching the heights of its predecessors, it delivers fragmented but unforgettable moments for those who've been on the ride all this time. In the process, RGG has proved itself as a legitimate player in the RPG space with a vastly improved combat system that is so uniquely representative of the series' identity and is used to great effect for personifying its characters. As a swan song for Kiryu, I'm conflicted on how it all comes together, yet it's impossible to not get emotional about the ways it lends a deserved weight to his legacy. So I'm not going to remember this game for its villains, their motivations, or the reasons for fighting in Hawaii, but I will remember that signature Yakuza-style hijinks and the sobering messages about what we do with the time that we have left.
Thank you for listening to the GameSpot ReviewCast. Be sure to like, rate, and subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. For the full written review plus more Infinite Wealth coverage, head over to GameSpot.com and YouTube.com/GameSpot.